You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Detox. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you, and I trust that you had an incredible Thanksgiving. I trust that it was just a great time making memories with the people that you love. Now, I know for me, during this time of Thanksgiving, one of the things that I thank God for is you. I thank God very, very often for New Point and you as a group of people, because you're just tremendous. And I love you very, very, very much. And I was thinking just about this past year and all that God has done. And one of the great things is we have been in this campaign called I'm In. And you have committed and pledged. And over this past year, you have consistently given and has been very, very generous. And because of that, we've been able to do some incredible stuff to be able to help us reach people. One is we're live streaming, and that means that to all of our campuses, those in Worcester and Millersburg and Canton and Coshocton and Dover, we're live. And it's because of your giving, because you've allowed us to be able to purchase the technology to be able to do that. In Worcester, they've been able to do some work with their parking and be able to increase their parking lot. In Millersburg, we see some pictures that they're already starting construction to be able to enlarge the children and the youth area. We're getting started after the first of the year, it looks like, in Canton with more room for youth and children. And we've got Coshocton coming up on the horizon as well. And we've got even work in Dover where we're developing a park, hopefully this coming spring, so that we can be a blessing to the community. And that all happens because of your generosity and your consistent giving. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I love you. Well, we're in this series called Detox. And what we're talking about is this, is that we all need to be detoxed, because there's something in all of us that has a profound impact on us. And for us to be thoroughly and completely detoxed, we have to diagnose the problem correctly. And then it enables you and I to be able to address the problem in a correct way. And we've been looking at this man named Paul because he has been bold and courageous to give us a sneak peek of his own life and his own struggle. And I've said that, you know, you may not believe in all the Bible, but as we have looked at his writings, you're going to believe a lot of this, whether you are a Christ follower or not, because it resonates with where we live. And what I want to do is I want us to look at this one more time, and then I want to help us take some steps here today. And so let's look at what Paul has written. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And we've been basically agreeing. Nobody has come up to me after one of our services and said, you know what, I completely disagree with that. That's never happened in my life. No, I see a whole lot of heads bobbing like, yeah, that's me, that's me. And he goes on to say this, for I have the desire to do what is good. I want to be that person that does the right thing at home, at work, with my friends. He says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. I can't carry it out. And he goes on to say this. He says, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now, isn't that the experience of all of us? And we ask the question, why do I continue to do that which I don't want to do? And Paul says, let me give you my answer. It's sin. It's sin. And basically, sin is ultimately leading people to addiction. Because what is an addiction? Let me tell you what an addiction is. An addiction is trying to meet an internal need externally. That's why we are an addictive society. Trying to meet an internal need externally. And so last week, you know, I mentioned that Paul has given us a solution to this problem called sin, that all of us have a choice in it, okay? We realize that we've all been born in Adam, and because Adam sinned, it has affected all of us. You might say, that's not fair. I'd agree with you. But the fact of the matter, in the garden, fairness ended. Life is not fair anymore, okay? And so what happens is we're all born into Adam, but when we accept Jesus Christ and what he did, we are now in Jesus. And so what was true of Adam was true of us. But when we are in Jesus Christ, when we ask him to come in and to forgive us of our sins, now what is true of Jesus, guess what, is true of me. And so now, because of Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, he has defeated sin. He has conquered death. And now because we are in him, okay, what happens is what's true of him is true of us. And so we learned last week three things, that we need to declare sin will not be my master. I trust that you've been doing that every day this week. I did it this morning. I did it yesterday. I plan on doing it tomorrow, okay? I want to set my mind, my will to that. And then we learned that I need to decide that sin will not rule over my life. I have a choice in this because now I'm in Christ. With Adam, I did not have a choice, okay? Nobody had to teach us how to lie. Nobody had to teach us how to deceive. Nobody had to teach us how to be mean or cruel. None of that, okay? It just came natural. But now I have a new nature. I'm born in Christ. And then I devote my body to God. I devote my body to God and I say, God, you know what? I'm going to offer my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my mouth, my hands, my feet, my body to you to be able to do that which is right. Now, the reason why this is so important is because on the heels of sin is always death. And what we know is all of us have experienced enough death in life. Death of relationships, death of finances, death of marriages, death of a career. And so what happens is I get to choose whether sin rules over me or not. But we've realized that, you know what? When I'm in Christ and sin comes knocking, what I usually do, if I'm not careful, is I begin to wrestle with, should I or shouldn't I? I want to, but I know I shouldn't. And so here's the question that we ask. When you wrestle with sin, which side of the argument do you identify with? Do you identify with Adam? And if you're arguing from Adam, here's what we do. Well, I'm not perfect. I'm susceptible to this. I've always been susceptible to this. My daddy had the issue. It runs in my family. I'm not perfect. You only go around once in life. And what happens is you're arguing from what you used to be. Where what we need to do is we need to argue from who we are now. And that's Jesus Christ. Because if you argue from Adam, you will lose every single time. But it's a completely different struggle and point of view now that you're in Christ. And so now what we say is this, Jesus, this is sin trying to rule over me. This is sin trying to be my master. This is sin trying to bring death to my marriage, to my relationships. This is sin thinking that it has power over me. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, we get in this debate. We get in this debate. And here's the problem with getting in this debate. This is what we want to talk about today. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so what happens is, when I get in a debate, do I want to respond like Adam or do I want to respond like Jesus? And I get in this debate, what happens is it brings on a sense of double-mindedness. That means that I'm pulled between two different directions. I want to, but I know I shouldn't. And so will I or won't I? And so what happens is I want two different things. I want a good marriage, but I keep on being selfish. I want my private addiction, but I want a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to have these impulsive reactions of spending, but I want my finances to be stable. We're just torn between the two. I want to express my anger, and yet I want to have meaningful and peaceful relationships. And here's what we need to understand. There's a sense of double-mindedness in all of us, and we have to be aware of that. But we need to realize that when we waver between the two, okay, what happens is double-mindedness creates instability in everything. It'll create instability in your marriage, in your family, in your leadership, in your workplace, wherever you are. Double-mindedness will create instability. You won't have confidence. You won't have a sense of peace. And it not only creates instability, it also affects everything. You know, when you are double-minded here, what happens is it'll affect everything that you do. Everything that you do. And so we have to come back and we have to make these declarations and say, you know what? I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm going to declare that sin will not be my master. I'm going to decide that sin will not rule over me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to devote my body to Christ. You see, we have this struggle between us. And you say, where do they come from? Well, one, it comes from the fact that we were born in Adam, and this is our flesh. And so for so many years, you were trained in a certain way to think. And what happens is when you come to Christ, you don't get a new brain. You bring your old patterns of thinking. I bring my old patterns of thinking. You bring your old behaviors. I bring my old behaviors. What has changed is that now I am forgiven. And so we have this flesh going on. And there's this war, if you will. And basically, in Adam, I had no choice. It just led me around. But now that I'm in Christ and I'm born again, God has given me a new nature. But he didn't press the clear button on my brain. And so what we're going to learn today is that I can't change my behavior unless I change the way in which I think. And so this is so, so, so important. And then the second thing is we have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he wants to flood your mind and my mind with negative thoughts. Like, you're not forgiven. You're not accepted. You're not secure. And what happens is he wants to bring us back to think in our old patterns and in our old ways, which what happens is creates a sense of double-mindedness, which creates an instability in our life. We don't know which way to turn. We're frustrated. We're full of anxiety. And it begins to affect everything. Now, Paul, the one who we've been looking at, okay, in this, and if you haven't listened to the first three lessons in this series, I want to encourage you to download them on the podcast because they connect with one another. But Paul, the one who says, that which I want to do, I find myself not doing, you know, he writes this to another group of people dealing with the same thing, but it gives us another picture of what we're called to do. Here's what he has to say. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. What's he saying? He is saying that you're in a war. You're in a battle. I'm in a battle. And the battle that we're in is for the mind. It's for the mind. Why? Because if you don't win the battle of your mind, if I don't win the battle of my mind, then what happens is I'm double-minded. I'm torn in two different directions, and it creates instability, and it affects everything in my life. And so what he says here is, he says, we live in a world, but we do not wage war as the world does. How does the world wage the war? You know, I just need to suck it up. I just need to do better. I just need to be more disciplined. I just need to whatever. And he says, you know what? That's not going to do it. Okay? That's not going to do it, because our weapons are different. Here's what he says. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On contrary, they have divine power. Divine power. That means God's power. And God's power is not limited. My power is limited. My willpower is limited. But he says they have divine power to what? Demolish strongholds. Now, we're going to talk about those in a moment, okay? What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a reoccurring pattern in your life. So if you say, I always blow up at people, that's a stronghold. You say, you know what, I always have to drink, that's a stronghold. If you say, I always have to gamble, that's a stronghold. Anything that is a constant reoccurring pattern in your life that you feel that you have to do, it's a stronghold. And what he says is, we need to break those. We need to pull those down. We need to demolish them. He goes on to say this: we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So what happens is, Satan is going to bombard you with arguments. God really doesn't care. He's not really interested in you. He doesn't love you. He's not able to change you. He's not fill in the blank. And he says, so we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And check this out. Okay, this is where you and I have a choice. And he says this, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Why? Because double-mindedness creates instability. Double-mindedness affects everything. And so Satan is going to throw arguments and pretense that sets itself up against who you really are in Christ. So that what happens is you're torn between the two. And if you're torn between the two, you're double-minded. You're not living life with confidence. You're not living life with a sense of hope. And so what he says here is, we take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Christ. That's a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. And Paul has been saying this, that though there is this problem called sin, you and I have a choice, and we can declare that it's not going to be our master. We can declare that it's not going to rule our life. And we can choose to devote our bodies to Christ. Now, as I told you last week, since I've done that, I've never sinned. And I was waiting for you to laugh, okay? Because you know and I know, okay, that the fact of the matter is we all fall short. And so the question is, so what does Dwight need to do when he gets off path? What does Dwight need to do when what happens is I'm arguing from Adam and I choose to act out Adam instead of living out Christ? What do I need to do? Well, what I want to do with the remainder time that we have, I want to help you understand how to get on the right path, the pathway to recovery, so that what happens is you don't allow one specific instance in your life or one choice in your life to become the way in which you choose to live the rest of your life. And so what I want to do is, I just want to give you a process, something, and what I hope that you will do is, I hope that you will take this and that you will read over and you will process it, so that what happens is, when you choose, and it's always a choice, to let sin reign in your life, you will quickly recognize it. And you'll come back to the path of recovery. So what does that path look like? Let me give you a number of things. The first one is we have to recognize the stronghold. We have to recognize the stronghold. And what is a stronghold? It's a reoccurring behavior in my life, okay? Constantly blowing up, constantly spending money I don't have, constantly drinking more than I should, constantly eating more than I should, whatever it is. And it brings death to me. And I have to recognize that. I have to be aware of that, okay? Paul says it like this. He says, neither give place to the devil. You see, a stronghold is a place that the devil wants to live and reign in your life and in my life. And let me tell you how he works, okay? Here's how he works. He works through our attitudes and our behaviors, okay? That's what a stronghold is. A stronghold are attitudes and behaviors that what happens are ingrained in you and me. And that's why we have a tendency to say, well, my dad was like this. Or this is just the way the Masons are. Or I'm only human. And so what happens is strongholds are fortress ways of thinking that are ingrained in your mind, and you think you can't change. And that's a lie. Strongholds are also deceiving. They're deceiving because what happens is you have a tendency to think that they have a stronger hold on you than what they really do, because you always have a choice. I always have a choice. But I have to realize the stronghold in my life. And so strongholds are attitudes and behaviors, and strongholds are a reoccurring behavior in our life. It's something that deceives us. It's something that promises a lot but doesn't deliver. And so ultimately, a stronghold is a mindset, a value system, or a thought process that doesn't allow you to maximize or reach your potential in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. And so let me give you four potential areas for strongholds. We looked at this in the first message, okay? There's four of them I want to give you. One is explosive temper, that you just blow up. You blow up. You have rage. The smallest thing ticks you off. And so what happens is that's a stronghold. Now you may say, well, my father had an anger problem and I'm just like him. Well, what you're doing is you're going back to Adam. So it could be an explosive temper. It could be a fragile self-image that you find yourself constantly being hurt. You lack confidence, lack a sense of security. You're offended very, very easy. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. That's not who God wants you and I to be in Christ, okay? We're more than conquerors. Or it could be an uncontrollable appetite. And that can go from alcohol to food to spending to gambling, whatever. And then distrust for authority. Distrust for authority. And these are potential strongholds. So what I have to do is I have to be aware of these. And when I see these manifesting themselves in my life, I need to recognize it, and I need to recognize it immediately. See, let me explain it to you this way, because this is how Satan works. D-Day, okay? During the time of D-Day, they wanted to establish a beachhead. Because if they could establish a beachhead, then they would persist in taking over the whole area, the whole land. And what happens is Satan wants to come and he wants to develop a foothold or a stronghold in your life. And we think, well, this is just one area of my life and it's not going to affect everything else. No. What happens is that's why Paul says, do not give Satan a foothold or a stronghold in your life, because he will never stay there. Just like an army that establishes a beachhead or a foothold in a country, their whole purpose is to conquer the whole country. And Satan's whole purpose is to conquer your whole life. And he will penetrate. And that which you think is small will eventually control your whole life. And what do we know about sin? It always brings death. So I need to recognize the stronghold. Secondly, I need to repent. I need to repent. Now, you might think that repent is a church word. It's really not. Okay? It was used by the Greeks and the Romans, because what happened is back in those days when this word became popular, there were no roads. There were no signs. And so what happened is when they would travel and they would find that they were quote unquote lost, the word that they would use is, you gotta repent. Which means that you have to go back to the point of where you made the wrong turn so that you can get on the right path. You see, repentance means a change in direction. And repentance should be a way of life for you and me. Because there's so many things in your life and there's so many things in my life that is constantly pulling at me. And so right when I recognize the stronghold, what I need to be able to do is I need to be able to come back and repent. I need to be able to say, God, I am sorry for my decision. I'm sorry for my choice. Please forgive me. And give me your grace and give me your power to be able now to get back on the right path and not allow this to continue in my life. You see, we need to be able to change directions in this. Paul writes this, or said of him, in Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God. That's what repentance is. Repent and turn to God so that your sins might be what? Wiped out. Because you don't want death. You don't want death in your marriage. You don't want death in your finances. You don't want death in your relationships. And that times of what? Refreshing may come from the Lord. So what he is saying here is when we repent and we come to God, he forgives us and we get refreshed. We get cleansed. We're not living in guilt. We're not living in shame. And so the first thing that I do on the pathway back to recovery is I've got to recognize the stronghold. I've got to tell myself the truth. And then I need to repent of it so that what happens is I can get back on the right path. I've got to think right, because if I don't think right, then I'm thinking in double-mindedness and it creates instability. And then the third thing I need to do is I need to replace lies with truth. I need to replace lies with truth. Why? Here's the reason why, okay? Every time you and I sin, we are believing a lie. Every single time. Every single time you and I sin, we're believing a lie. Because all behavior is based on belief. Behind every sinful behavior, there is a lie that you believe and I believe. And it all starts in your mind. And so for me to be able to live differently, I have to believe differently. And the reason why we find ourselves many times in a life of depression, defeat, discouragement, is because we're believing a lie. And who's the liar? Well, John tells us that it's Satan. It says, he, Satan, is a liar and the father of lies. In one translation, it says it is his native tongue. And so every time Satan speaks to you and me, okay, he is lying to you and me. He's promising something that he will not deliver on. And so what happens is I have to replace that lie with the truth. And when I do that, that's called repentance. You see, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Lies will lead you and I to bondage, to strongholds, to addictions, to defeat, to discouragement. But what happens is we have to replace the lies with truth. What kind of lies does he say to you and me? God doesn't care. God's not interested in you. God's not good. all of these different lies. And when we believe them, even though they are lies, if we believe them, we act on them as though they are truth. And what happens is we end up experiencing a stronghold in our life. And we allow Satan to come in. And he'll want to control you and he'll want to control me. But what we need to do is replace it with the truth. No, God does care. God does love me. God is faithful. God is good. And so what I need to do is I need to recognize that stronghold. And then I need to repent. And then I need to replace the lies with the truth, okay? And then I need to reconcile my view of God with reality. I need to reconcile my view of God with reality. And this is huge. See the battle, the battle that we're fighting is this. Are you going to believe that you are in Adam, you're condemned, okay, you're guilty, and you're full of shame? Or are you going to believe God when he says when you're in Christ, you are forgiven, you are accepted, you are secure, and you are significant? So really, the battle is what you believe about God. That's why you have to replace your lies with truth. And in doing so, I have to reconcile my view of God with reality. You see, you've heard me say this over and over again. I'm going to say it again. Your view of God is the most important thing about you. It affects how you live life. It affects how you do life. Adam and Eve, that was their issue. You know, if you go back to the very beginning of time, Adam, why did Adam and Eve sin? Let me tell you why they sinned. They doubted God. They doubted God. And Satan said to them, did God really say? What's he saying? You can't trust God. You can't trust God. And what Satan wants to do with his lies, and this is why we have to reconcile ourselves with the right view of God, what he wants you to do is he wants you to doubt that God loves you. And he wants you to doubt that God knows what is best. And Adam and Eve, they doubted that God really loved them because they thought that God was holding out. Because here's what Satan said to Adam and Eve. The day that you eat of this tree, you will be like God. Oh, he's holding out. Oh, God doesn't have the best for me. Now think of this, okay? Adam and Eve were in paradise. Say, what do you mean? They were naked and had no kids. It doesn't get better than that, right? Being naked and no kids doesn't get better than that. And yet what happened is they believed a lie, and it led them to doubt God. And in leading them to doubt God, it caused them to sin. It caused them to live outside of God. And so I have to reconcile my view of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, many times we think that God's unreasonable. That's not true. We think that God is unreliable. That's not true. We think that God is unconcerned. That's not true. We think that God is unpleasable. That's not true. And what happens is Satan wants to come and lie. And when we believe that God's unreasonable and unpleasable and unreliable and unconcerned, then what do? We act independently of him. And it leads us down a path of destruction. Sin then rules over us. But here's the truth about God. Paul says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's pleased with us. He loves us. He accepts you. Look at what he says here. He says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? If God gave us his son, Christ, will he not give us everything else that we need? He's not going to hold out on you. And so what happens is we have to come back and reconcile our view of God with reality. Here's the reality. God loves you. God's good, God's great, God's generous. And then number five, I need to restate my identity and calling in God. I need to restate my identity and calling in God. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's what Paul says. Paul says, you are complete in him. I need to come back and I need to remind myself, you know what? I'm complete in God. I have everything that I need in God. I don't need anything outside of that. I'm accepted. I'm secure. I'm significant. I'm loved. I'm cared for. I am complete in God. I have to restate my identity that this is who I am. I'm a son of the living God. Or maybe for you, I'm a daughter of the living God. And so I need to restate my identity and my calling in God. Now, what's my calling? Okay. My identity is I'm holy. I'm a saint. What's my calling? Well, here's what Paul says, okay? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you would obey its evil desires. Here's my calling. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself, he says, to him as an instrument of righteousness. Now check this out. For sin shall no longer be my master. Here's what he's saying. Restate your identity. You're complete. You're whole. And restate your calling in God. Sin will not be my master. Sin will not rule over me. My calling is devote my body to God. And you have to restate your identity and calling. And then finally, let me give you this last one. You need to renew your mind. What did we start off with? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded woman is unstable in all of her ways. And so the battle is in your mind. So every single day, I need to come back and I need to renew my mind that guess what? I'm forgiven. I'm significant. I'm secure. I'm accepted. You know why? Because the reason why we sin is we try to meet these needs outside of Christ to prove ourselves, to perform. And so what I need to do is retransform my mind. I need to reprogram my mind. And Paul would say it like this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be like everybody else. Okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Because what happens is you and I cannot act inconsistently with how we think. Then you will be able, check this out, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, okay? Good, that's quality. Pleasing, that's excellent. And perfect will. That means, you know what? Life and life to the fullest. You see, the reason why this is so important that we understand a pathway to recovery is because of this. Your life is always moving in the directions of your strongest thoughts. Your life is always moving in the directions of your strongest thought. And when you and I live a double-minded life, it creates instability. And it affects everything. And it'll happen to you and it'll happen to me. But what we have to do is we have to come back and get on the pathway to recovery. And what is that? We've got to recognize the stronghold. We've got to repent. We have to replace those lies with truth. We have to reconcile our view of God. We've got to restate our identity, that we're complete in him, and we have to constantly renew our mind. And so my prayer for you is that you will take this, and when you find yourself off the right path, that you'll come back and say, you know what, I got to get back on the right path, and that you'll use this as a tool to be able to bring you back to who you really are in Christ. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you love us. No matter what, no matter if we choose to let sin rule over us, you still love us. But you don't want sin to rule over us because sin always brings death. There's always consequences. And so, God, if there's someone here today who maybe knows you, but you know what? They're not on the right path. And death is in their life, I pray today that they would recognize that stronghold and that they would repent and that they would replace those lies with truth and that they would reconcile their view of you and restate who they really are and that they would renew their mind with your truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.